Welcome back to the Injury Report.
It's so good to be back. It's almost like it's been longer than a fortnight, but it hasn't.
You know what's crazy? It's only been one fortnight.
Just one fortnight equals 2 weeks, which is a mind fuck.
So then you have a fort month. Anyway, I'm Maria.
And I'm Amelia.
This is the Injury Report. It's the place where we talk about our physical
and emotional injuries
over the past fortnight.
Yes.
We like to say it's the Minor Pain Podcast.
That's a major pleasure.
That's right. And today it's an even majorer pleasure.
Oh my God, the majorist, you could even say.
Because we have a major guest.
Oh, big time guest, big you guys. I don't even know guest. If our listeners are ready, but we are.
We are. Our hearts are ready. Our emotions are ready. Our injuries are ready.
Yeah. Our microphones were not ready today.
Look, there's an issue with the microphone. And the point is, I'm a fucking idiot, and I'm going to look into it later, but we can't right now.
No, but what's special about this episode is there's three of us sharing one mic. The haters have said that it's not possible. The haters were saying, you can't do a mic with three, a pod episode with three people, one mic, and we said, let's hit record.
We said, hold my mic.
Someone hold our one mic.
Our special guest today is, of course, the beloved Casey Kennedy.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Glad to be here.
Also notably known on Instagram as @CaseyIsComical.
Or if you were paying attention recently, he was impersonated by a scammer, and that was like _CaseyIsComical. So don't add that guy.
Also, apparently that scammer was very good and almost got several of my close friends.
I almost hit that follow back because I see a follow from CaseyIsComical. I'm like, I'm following back. Like I'm doing all the things. I'm subscribing, whatever. But I hit up Casey. I was like, is this you? I need this to be you for me to follow it back.
And, you know, I can see the appeal. I have three digits of Instagram followers. So, I mean, pretty impressive stuff.
Oh, my God. You're in the three figures?
Yeah.
Three figures of followers on Instagram. Thank God you found time for us today.
You know, it was tough to fit in, but I'm very honored to be y'all's fifth choice today.
although, literally, he barely fit us, and he's literally stepping on a plane the moment we wrap, basically, today.
Yeah. I'm actually driving, but close enough, you know?
He's stepping onto a plane to get to his car where he will be driving.
Taylor Swift vibes. Yeah. He's like Taylor Swift. He's right, driving a plane to his car.
That's right.
We love to see it. Embarrassing, I did follow the scam account. I didn't even think about it. I didn't send the money like he asked, but I did think about it.
The reason I message is because I had just been messaging the true Casey on Instagram, and then I get this follow from someone else, and on that page it said, my account is locked, and I was like, I know that's not true. I was just messaging the man himself.
You know, my friend Allie told me that the scammer got her, but she realized it was fake when he asked for $320. And I thought, well, that is bold. I mean, it's like, if you would have said $20, people might say yes.
Casey's more of like a 20 buck. You got 20 bucks. You got 40 bucks.
Anything you want. Yeah. If any of my friends message me asking me for $20, I'm like, of course. I'm a generous soul. Catholics were raised to be charitable. Right. Anyway.
You start asking for three figures. It's like, what do you think? I'm made of money?
Right. That's $1 for each Instagram follower I have. Yeah.
Would you care to Venmo me $1 for every follower I have? Just whatever the count says right now. Casey, we would love to hear, and however you want to start, whatever story you want to start with. Yeah. And if you think back over the last
fortnight.
Thank you. What are some of the physical and emotional injuries you've sustained?
And or emotional injury. Like, where do you want to begin? Physical or emotional?
You might notice a theme of the pod, many or both.
And I was about to correct myself and say a physical injury. Don't be fooled that that can't also be an emotional injury, as I'm sure you've probably felt.
That's so real. And emotional injuries can become physical.
Oh my God. Don't even get me started, girlfriend. Don't even get me started. This is going to become a holistic podcast before long.
Go off, Casey.
Yeah, I would say, let me start with my silly physical injury, which was... So I just recently moved into my own apartment, and it's my first time. It's my first time living by myself in a long time, and so I've had to buy a lot of new stuff. I bought a new set of pots and pans, and like, you know, furniture, and just all the little house things you didn't need. But I'm really excited to get back into cooking again.
To like get you started?
I mean, my mom's Cajun, so I was raised like learning to cook from her and stuff, and so I know some stuff really well. I'm figuring it out again because it's been a while since I really cooked. And anyways, I was getting back into it, and I was really excited to cook my first meal when I got my new pots and pans set. And I went to the Jewel Osco, and I got one of those, like, fajita mix packs where it's, like, the peppers and onions and the chicken, and it's seasoned and all that stuff. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to make up some fajitas. It's going to be really good. And it just so happened that this day there were a lot of other things that were going on, and I was cooking some sides as well. And you know how it's like you're maintaining multiple things?
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah. So I was in the middle of cooking, and I had started, I think I was making some zucchini as well or something, and it was like needed some attention. And at this time, Maria actually started calling me while I was in the middle of this, but I ripped open the fajita mix and it wouldn't open. And when I finally ripped it, it like flung up in the air and it like landed all over me and like a huge chunk of it landed on my shoulder.
This is like a sitcom-y, what's it called? Damn, I'm going to cut out me trying to think of this. It's like a sitcom-y, like noises off, farcical. It's farcical.
Yeah.
Casey is farcical.
I am. Casey's not comical. He is farcical. And so...
If Casey is farcical follows you, reach out to Casey is comical and double check.
I need money for fajita mix. So
it's only about like $5 though, right? Or what's the
if you messaged me and said I need $5 for fajita mix, no question I'm sending you that.
That is my brother Casey Kennedy, no question.
Oh, you're at the store right now, homie? I got you.
So I'm sitting here with like a huge chunk of chicken and peppers and onions like on my shoulder, and you started calling me, Maria, at this exact moment, and my landlord starts knocking on my door because I was getting my plumbing worked on while this is happening. So I'm like okay, and I walk over to my frying pan, and I like kind of try to like slide the stuff off my shoulder, and of course I'm not thinking because I'm freaking out. There's so much stuff happening, and I'm also laughing. And so the stuff slides off my shoulder. It hits the oil in my frying pan and splashes hot oil up in the air. And I burned the shit out of myself. Can I cuss on this podcast?
Yes. Okay.
So I burned myself super badly. Like a bunch of grease landed on my foot and stuff and like my shoulder and stuff. And it was so funny because like I'm yelling at my landlord. Like, and also it started like smoking at that time. There were so many things happening and I couldn't help. It was just like, I was so excited. First meal in my new place. I haven't, you know, it was just such a shit show.
Whoever said cooking is not a contact sport has never tried to cook a dish and sides at once.
Yeah. But ultimately, I got a good laugh out of it, so that's what matters.
Did you answer the phone?
No, I called. I don't know.
Okay, good.
I actually sent you a voice memo like 5 minutes later. It was like, you will not fucking know what just happened.
You did do that. You did do that. I was picturing when that all happened, then you like ran through a tar pit and then a bunch of chicken feathers came out.
Right. I slid on like some marbles that happened to be lying on my
living room. It just turned out I had left my marbles out, so as I'm on my way to the landlord, it just gets worse and worse and worse.
I had been up the night before playing marbles really late. You know how I do.
I think the sitcom we're thinking of is The Three Stooges, because that is a stooge situation. Did you get to your landlord? Did he want money? Did he want three figures?
No, you know what? He was there to not fix the plumbing. He was there to take care of the plumbing, which was to tell me, we're not going to fix this.
That's not something we're going to do right now.
This is an anti-landlord podcast through and through.
Well, landlords, you got some work to do, guys. You need to take a hard look in the mirror through your smooth wax. Take a hard look at yourself. Sorry, that was an inside joke. We do those yourself? On the No, from your it's a joke. Maria's fridge has those funny magnetized words.
It's magnetic poetry.
Yeah, magnetic poetry, and you could just put words in any order you want. And there's a sentence that Casey wrote that says, "But when my blue shadow through smooth wax elaborates, I see not diamond honey," and I have issues with that.
And can I just say, maybe it's just me, but I think all poetry is magnetic.
Mm, whoa. Casey's 5'10", ladies. Are you 5'11"? Okay, I'm sorry. My bad.
I appreciate that you're not just going to... I'll cut it up. I appreciate that you're not going to just round up to 6 foot. You're trying to be as honest as possible.
This is an honest man.
He's not six. He's 5'11", and he's magnetic, and he loves poetry.
And he believes, and I do believe that you believe poetry is magnetic. Tell us what you think about Sophie's Choice.
Oh, well, this is real. Sophie's Choice is my favorite book. The author...
Book, ladies and gentlemen, not the movie. This man appreciates literature.
The author of Sophie's Choice is actually from where I'm from, and there's a neighborhood that's named after him. His name is William Styron, and it's called Styron Crossing. And all the streets in the neighborhood are named after characters from his books. It's really cool.
Shut the front door, Casey.
Shut the front door, indeed. That's so cool.
Well, we're glad you survived making your first meal in your new place. Yeah. Thanks for being... Otherwise, how could you be our fifth choice?
In the pod.
Last night, Casey...
That was a real Sophie's Choice, was what guest we...
So, to find the guest for today, the first three people we asked couldn't make it, but then our boy Casey could come through. Four. Well, no. Oh, for this episode, we asked three people, and then so Casey was like, oh, I was your fourth choice, and I was like, no, Casey, because we've had a guest on the pod before, so you're actually our fifth choice.
No, I hate to correct you, I think you're wrong. I think I asked four people for this ep, so he's our sixth choice.
I'm sorry, Casey. You're a sixth choice, but hey, they say sixth is the best.
That's what I always hear.
You know
hear.
What they say?
I always hear that.
I've heard that myself. Sixth is actually the best.
The book
you
thing...
You heard it here first, actually.
That's kind of our official stance at the injury report. The book thing reminded me... Genuinely, I'm an idiot. I did not know Sophie's Choice is a book. I haven't even seen the movie.
I didn't know that either. I thought it was just a book, a movie with Meryl Streep.
Correct. But... I do feel a little bit superior in a different story where a friend of a friend, I shouldn't say names. A friend of a friend was talking to my friend the other day, and they said they were talking about like their heartbreak they're going through. And they said, yeah, well, it's like, have you ever seen the movie Great Gatsby? And my friend was like, no, but I read the book.
Well, I mean, my first question would be, which movie are we talking about? Are we talking about Robert Redford Gatsby?
Are we talking about Leo?
Leo Gatsby.
R.I.P. Robert Redford.
Okay, I was about to say, what? Are you?
Did something happen to Leo?
No. Leo is kicking, but Robert Redford recently departed.
He was so hot.
He was so hot.
Did you guys see all the news stories that came out after he died? People made collections of like times that he said in interviews, like different stories, like highlighting that he had never been rejected romantically. There was a couple different interviews where people would be like he was in a movie and somebody said, play like a loser for this character. Like, imagine like how you felt whenever a girl rejected you. And he was like, what?
Can you elaborate on that?
What do you mean a girl rejected me? I've never heard those words in that order. In reference to me.
How she feels when I reject her? Is that the
sorry, you mixed up the subjects of that sentence. You meant when I reject them. No, Robert, this is acting.
So would you say that your fajita episode was emotional and physical, or just physical?
I would say it was emotional in a positive way, because I like to laugh at myself. I thought it was very funny. Just physical in terms of negative, painful. I do have an emotional injury as well.
Wait, really quickly before you move on to the emotional injury, have you guys heard of the fajita thought experiment?
No.
Where it's like, if you were at a friend's birthday, would you order the fajita plate?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
It's like,
no. Right.
Oh, that's funny.
And I would say, if I wanted fajitas, obviously, I'm not trying to take attention from anybody, but if I'm in the mood for fajitas, for me, it's not about attention. It's about fajitas. Don't make this about that.
I am fully on board with that. I would probably not even remember the thing about fajitas, so when they come out, I'd be like, fuck, I'm sorry, I didn't know, I forgot, I just wanted fajitas.
I have the decency to eat fajitas shamefully in the privacy of my own home, okay? I can't make a meal about myself in public. I can't do it.
You can't make, wow, that's a double entendre right there. You don't want to make a meal of yourself.
Ooh.
You didn't even realize you did a double entendre.
Magnetic poetry.
Strikes again.
I would love to hear your emotional injury.
Yeah.
Well, I as Maria, I think you already know, I just visited my family in Arizona. First of all, I was very anxious. I have a complicated dynamic with my family, as most people do.
That's
actually very common on this pod.
Oh, see, I was about to do a bit. What are you talking about in a complex relationship with your family?
I've never heard of that. Things are hunky-dory over here.
Yeah, so I was pretty anxious about that. But then I'm turning around and going on this work trip to Minnesota today. So I had like a 3 or 4 day window in between. So I decided after this like very anxious couple of days to just drive the entire way back from Minnesota, or from Phoenix to Chicago.
And Route 66?
I did just briefly pull onto Route 66 just to be able to say I did, but I didn't take it most of the way. But the the thing is, I'm the kind of person that I will do something if I think it'll make a good story in general.
Do it for the plot.
Do it for the plot, right? So, do it for the pod.
Most importantly,
yeah, I mean, I was sitting there going, God, I hope one day they ask me to be on the injury report. I hope.
Then you get back.
So, I ended up, I decided to stop at the Grand Canyon as well. So it was a 31-hour drive, all told. And I thought, oh, this will be funny a little bit, like kind of cool. Oh, I'll do this 31-hour drive straight. It turns out people did not like my choice. I have been reprimanded heavily from several people about my choice to drive all the way through. Yeah, or even people who just like to tell me that I shouldn't do things.
Why? Because your gas usage and the environment?
Because it's unsafe to drive tired. I mean, which I know that.
You didn't drive 31 hours at once, Casey, without sleeping?
Oh, Amelia.
Yes, I did. That is what happened, yes. I did not stop. I drove the entire thing.
Are you, like, crushing, what are those energy drinks?
Yes.
Red Bulls.
No, the even more intense
more
ones.
Logos.
No, I think it starts with an E.
Oh.
The ones they sell at 7-Eleven? That this is... I'll figure this out. No, we'll
Four
come
Locos,
back.
Red Bulls,
Four Loko, I'm sorry to say, that's actually an alcoholic beverage,
you
and I shouldn't...
and I was... We're mad at you. You gotta stop drinking while driving.
No, I did drink a lot of caffeine, and anytime I was feeling like a little...
No. It's something else.
Ghost. Bang. Full Throttle.
Still no.
I'm doing my best.
I'll figure it out.
I would pull over frequently and, like, you know, go and splash my face with cold water, get some caffeine, whatever. But I did ultimately not sleep, and I drove the entire way through. Which, granted, understand, probably not the smartest choice, but people have been kind of mean about it.
My question is, were you ever falling asleep while driving? Or were you just like the adrenaline of the drive was so much that you were like, I'm here, I'm present, I'm driving?
Well, I ultimately, I spent a lot of time on the phone with people, which helped a lot. I had a lot of like 2-hour long phone calls. I talked to Marie on the phone for like an hour, probably maybe longer than that. And which is a great excuse to have emotional conversations about other stuff, you know.
Not for the pod.
You have to listen to me right now, or else I'll fall asleep and die.
Yeah, and not to put too much pressure on your time right now, Maria, but either you talk to me or this car is going off the road.
Keep it in the rumble strips. You got to listen to me talk about my relationship with my siblings.
But yeah, so I would say it's been a little emotionally trying being like, oh, this was a thing I thought was going to be a fun, cute story. I drove 31 hours straight. And it's like, no, there are people who are actually upset at you about this, Casey. But, you know.
We'll have them come on the pod and talk about their emotional injury at Casey's drive.
Well, I'm going to start naming some names. So get your bleep ready. No, I'm not going to do that. That's a terrible idea because will get mad at me.
What?
Now Maria has to go and bleep it.
Now I have to do editing.
You've added work for Maria.
Thanks, Casey.
He's added to your labor. By the way, Casey took our photos for the podcast.
You know, yeah, at the end of the day, you were part of this from the beginning because you directed. You came over to my place when we had picked a time. I had no vision at all. Mm-hmm. And you kind of directed us and made a cool little photo shoot. And now we have a great pic.
Oh, my God. We have so many great pics, Maria. The people have yet to even see the breadth of the photos that we took.
They're good pics. So thank you for that.
Very happy to help. Love you guys.
Oh, stop.
Love you right back.
Stop. I think you're okay.
I have an emotional injury I would like to share.
I'd love to hear.
Is it okay if I just start sharing my emotional injury now? If I just start?
Why would you?
I guess you could say this is... I wouldn't say this is a trauma dump.
Okay.
That's
what it's for, to be clear, though. There's no such thing as trauma dump on the internet.
No, that's the whole... I mean, you could call this pod the trauma dump. Boy, I'm still trying to think of the name of that energy drink, though. Also... the moment we stop recording, I'll be like, oh, it's this.
Can you tell us anything else about it?
Well, I would drink them when I first moved to Chicago. I joined a book club, and I'm so bad at reading, as I mentioned earlier. I can't read a book and put it down and start reading it again. Like, if I'm going to read a book, I'm going to, in the same way that Casey is like, if I start a drive, I'm going to drive all the way. I don't care how far it is. It's like, if I'm going to read a book, I have to just power through the whole thing. And so I would start reading the book before the book club that night and just pull an all-nighter reading it and then go to the book club meeting. And I would drink these energy drinks to get myself through. Does that narrow it down for you?
You know, I do remember that, actually.
Oh, you're thinking of...
Oh, they're like at 7-Elevens. And they're like, why so much caffeine in them?
Rockstar.
No.
Spike.
You guys aren't even close. It's like a girly can. Yeah. Maria's about to pop out Google here.
And I know I'm not supposed to. Tell us about your emotional injury.
Yeah. So, okay. So, I have a nephew who is the love of my life. He's 9 years old. And Celsius. Oh, Celsius.
It's the healthy energy drink.
Oh, is that what they call it?
Well, because it's like, it's all zero calories and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Celsius. I was drinking Celsii to get through the night. But
it's not Celsii.
And that's maybe a physical injury I could talk about later, is drinking too much Celsius and then what that next day be like. Back to emotional injury. So ever since my nephew was born, I was like, bro, I will show you the Lord of the Rings movies when it's time. Just understand, when you watch the Lord of the Rings movies, I'm going to be there. Okay. I'm going to be your Sherpa through. I want to be the person to share with him the Lord of the Rings. You know, like, his dad has shared with him Star Wars. Like, his dad has everything else. I'm like, Lord of the Rings, that's what I want to share with you. And the first time I tried to show him Lord of the Rings, he was 5, was not paying attention to any of it.
Right.
Yeah, was not paying attention. I think we played all the movies, but nothing was absorbed. Like, we were doing other things. I was like, this doesn't count. This doesn't count at all. And he's 9 now. And I just moved apartments, and we do monthly sleepovers. And on the last sleepover at my old apartment, he says to me, he's like, you know what, Amelia, Aunt Amelia, he's like, for the last sleepover, let's watch Lord of the Rings. He's 9. And I was like,
it's time.
Bro, you sound ready. Let's go. We start watching Fellowship of the Ring. He's clocked out almost almost immediately. I know. And as we're watching Fellowship, I am going, fuck, this is a lot of pipe they're laying. Like, this is a lot of world building.
Wait, hold on. That's not the reading of that phrase.
That is not what that phrase means, Amelia.
A lot of pipe they're laying.
When you're laying pipe, you're like...
No!
Amelia, no.
I just want you to know, in writer's rooms, people are referring to setting exposition as laying pipe. So maybe they don't realize. What, is laying pipe getting railed or something? Is actually having sex?
I would say it's foreplay. Doing the railing.
Oh, okay. I feel like laying pipe is not sex. I feel like laying pipe can't be actually having sex. Laying pipe sounds like foreplay. If you're going to take it that way.
Again, you're thinking of it from a writer's perspective. The pipe is the penis, in case.
It's not a metaphor. I know that we were talking about poetry a lot earlier, but it's a physical pipe.
Let me tell you that words can have many meanings, as anyone who appreciates poetry would understand. Okay, moving on, you pervs.
So they were setting the table, is what you could say.
They were laying a lot of pipe.
Wait, I just realized we were watching not the regular Lord of the Rings. We were watching a weird version.
South Park episode, the Lord of the Rings episode, that it's like a Lord of the Rings porn.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
It was exactly.
Oh no, it was Backyard Sluts 9. No. I'm thinking, I'm mixing up South Park episodes. Anyhow, this will be an emotional injury for a future episode. What's happening right now? Anyways, this is now content for the future. Okay, fine. They were world building. They were laying a lot of pipe in the Fellowship of the Ring. If we're talking about screenwriting, the craft of screenwriting. But I was realizing, I was like, nothing is really happening. He's bored. He's getting bored. Then it started getting exciting. You know, the hobbits are at the Prancing Pony. They're staying at the inn. Aragorn saves him. He's still Strider at this point. My nephew is still very clocked out. Like, he's clearly not engaged in the moments that he's supposed to be engaged in. When Arwen does the horse chase scene with Frodo, it's like, that's an electric moment, an exhilarating moment. At the moment when she's in the river about to summon the waters in the form of horses to get past the ring rates or to stop the ring rates, he goes, how much longer is this movie?
No.
He's like, what would...
Those movies,
right, exactly. And he goes, what would be a good stopping point for this movie? And I literally go, well, you know, Declan, if you're not into this scene right here, we should probably just If you're not, if this is one of, and I said this very calmly, not with the tone that I'm using right now. I was like, yeah, I mean, this is one of like the highlights of the movie and maybe my favorite moment of the fellowship. So yeah, if you want to stop, we can just stop right here. You know, if you don't want to stop after this scene, if this scene isn't speaking to you, we can just, and that's where we stopped for that night. Amelia. But he's 9, you know, I'm not, the dream's not dead. But that was emotionally painful. Like when you think your nephew wants to watch Lord of the Rings and he's just not feeling it, that's kind of emotional. But I recovered. I bounced back, but I'm talking about it.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
I mean, we're going to try again when he's 30. I think we're going to wait for him to become a teen.
I think that's a good idea. A really treasured memory I have with my brother is when I was like 13 or 14. Like I grew up and my brother and my dad would watch Star Wars like in the background, but I had never like paid attention. Yeah. And when I was like 13 or 14, there was one summer my brother was home because he went to a boarding school, but during the summer he was home. And there was one summer when he was like Hayes, which is what he calls me. Hayes.
What? Oh, yeah,
Hayes.
Right.
Hayes,
yeah,
or Hazel. Yeah, yeah. He was like, Hayes, you're going to see all the Star Wars movies. And so there was only 6 at the time.
Only 6. Only 6 films.
So like he showed me in the orders of prequels and then the originals. And so
that's tough to slog through the prequels.
I was a kid, so it was kind of perfect because I love the prequels. I still do. And those are like more kids movies kind of. So every night we would watch a Star Wars and it was so fun. And we would watch one Star Wars.
How old were you?
I think it was like 13, 14. Okay. It was like the beginning of junior high.
This is what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm saying, yeah. And now I have this lifelong love of Star Wars and like it's something we all like the family bonds over all the time. Every Christmas we build Star Wars Legos and we watch a bunch of Star Wars movies. So it's really, really precious and special. So I think you do have to find the right age and then maybe it'll be different.
Do you think my 2 false starts have ruined the Lord of the Rings for my nephew?
I don't know, but maybe don't do a third one until you're ready.
Well, you know what they say, third time's the charm. They say 6 is the best. Third time's the charm. Yeah, I'm not, you know, I have this tendency, like I will even take baked goods out of the oven too soon, you know, like I get too excited and I think everything's ready, but no, everybody has their own schedule.
It's not your fault that he didn't like it. Like it's okay, you're gonna try again, don't blame yourself.
He really thought he was ready, but I think he wanted to be ready. Yeah. More than he was ready.
Because he loves you so much and he wants to please you.
Right. But I told this story to someone else and they were like, you know what's cool is that he felt comfortable enough to say, I want to stop watching this.
Hey, we love raising kids who know how to have boundaries.
Yeah, who know how to say, I know this is round 2. I'm still not feeling it. We still got time. I've got time to grow into caring about the Lord of the Rings. But
can I just go on a very, very quick mini rant about Star Wars Episode 1? Okay.
Is that a new hope? No. That's
carefully,
the
my friend, because I can talk about that for hours, and you have a hard out. Today.
Okay, that's true.
Man is so booked.
My issue with Star Wars Episode 1 is not that it wasn't great in and of itself. It's that there were so many ingredients for a delicious recipe of a movie. We had cool, mysterious bad guy Darth Maul. We have a young, capable Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. We have Qui-Gon Jinn, mysterious cool Liam Neeson Jedi Master, right? So many cool things. We have this whole universe of limitless Jedi and cool things. We have desert planet, all this stuff. And instead, I got 40 fucking minutes of pod racing. Okay? Why on...
Is this like a thing you're saying about podcasts?
What is this supposed to... You don't like pods?
Yeah. You don't like pods, like dueling podcasts? Is that what you're talking about? So I've never seen Star Wars. So I hear anti-pod racing. I'm thinking, what are you saying about
it? What are you trying to say?
Yeah. I've seen A New Hope, but that's it.
And you stopped?
Bro, I missed the boat. I didn't see it as a child. I think so much of loving Star Wars is like that nostalgia factor. And I started as an adult. And I got to say, A New Hope is... Everyone's just beeping for like the first 30 to 40 minutes. I'm like,
I am so upset. See, we can't go down this route because I have the urge to argue with both of you so strongly. That's not true. I agree with your take, Casey. I don't like the pod racing either. But now this is pod racing.
So when you say pod racing, that was a bit, you're not talking about podcasts. Are you talking about spaceships?
It's like NASCAR, basically. That they spend 40 minutes on instead of letting me watch young Yoda fight. Like with his cool lightsaber, or we have fucking Samuel L. Jackson plays Mace Windu with a purple lightsaber. Give me more of that. Yeah. I don't care about this little fucking whatever his name, Grebo or whatever, and he speaks like
Is there a lot of Star Wars fandom that loves NASCAR? Like, was that what they were thinking?
Surely not. Those nerds. Yeah. Surely not.
Like, I'm wondering what the studio was thinking of. Like, we gotta have 40 minutes of this.
It's not cool. It's cool for a bit. It just goes on too long. Wait. But like, if it was like you're saying, if it was one small ingredient in the stew, it's a welcome ingredient.
Was it like revolutionary filmmaking technology?
The whole movie is kind of that, where they're kind of getting off on the new stuff they can try.
Yeah.
Especially like the whole character of Jar Jar Binks. That's kind of the conceit of him.
So I've never seen the movies, but I know about Jar Jar Binks.
Well, I had so many. Again, we got to get off this. I'll talk forever. There's a whole podcast called "The Redemption of Jar Jar Binks." I listened to where they did a deep dive on that character, because Star Wars because episode one coincides with sort of the first rise of the internet and sort of the first inklings of like meme culture. And Jar Jar Binks kind of took off as this thing on the internet that people could slam dunk on. It was kind of one of the first things that was like a hater campaign against it. And like, so that actor got like death threats and like letters in the mail for like years. And it kind of...
person playing it.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah. And he's doing a good job for what he was given. And you know, he was a young actor that got discovered and he gets this amazing opportunity. So anyway, listen to that pod. I won't go into it anymore. But
one last thought on this. I just want to say I do think Star Wars Episode 1 was important because it did lay a lot of the pipe for what would become the rest of the franchise.
Also, I was thinking Maria plugging another pod on our pod. That's pod racing. I was like, did we just do a pod race? Are we racing pods right now? It sounds like it's not a race. It sounds like, no, we're taking the competition out of it. It's just pod. Everybody wins.
It's a pod.
Pods walking astride each other over the finish line together. Maria, we're running out of time. Would you like to share any kind of injury?
I would, in fact. This is the only physical one I can think of. I could talk about a couple of things. The physical one... I had a show at home theater with old friends the other night. Shout out. We love old friends.
Old friends, book them. Also book Quesaria.
And also book Heya Toots. And also book Amelia on everything.
Book me personally.
We'll do plugs at the end, folks. We're going to do plugs in a bit. I had a show at home theater, and I felt a little goofy during it. And I'd never been to that stage before. By the way, are we allowed to say we did shows there? Because I know that it's kind of...
Yeah. Everybody wants a mention on the injury report. Yeah.
But I think they're not... I'll cut this. They're not like open to the public.
Oh, so maybe we cut all of this.
No, I think they don't have licensing yet to like sell tickets, I think. Precisely. But I think that they're allowed to do free shows. I mean,
I think... Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I had a show at home theater, and I had never been on that stage before, so I think I just felt a little getting my bearings, you know. And so there was one part I went out to start a scene, and I'm like bending down to sit in the chair behind me, and it's way further away than I think. So I'm kind of like scooching back for like way too long to sit in the chair. So I missed my chair. And then also somebody swiped a scene, and I like tried to get off the stage really fast, and I kind of like launched myself off the stage. And if you haven't been to that theater, there's kind of a big gap between the floor and the stage, like height wise. And so I kind of launched myself off and kind of landed on my knees at the end of the stage. Like I kind of like had to knee walk off the stage for a second, and I hurt my knee a little bit.
Wow, giving up her whole body to the bit.
Not committing in a scene, just me being clumsy in front of people.
I had an experience like that recently. I did a show at Second City in Donnie Skybox, and you know there's lots of curtains on that stage, like it's like a long white stage, and I did a thing where I like jumped out from behind the curtain, but my foot totally got wrapped up in the curtain, and I did trip, and everyone was like, "Oh!" And but I got it back. I didn't fall on my face, but no, man, improv, much like cooking, is a contact sport.
That's true.
Never say it's not. Casey, have you ever injured yourself on stage?
I have injured myself on stage many times.
Share with us one.
Okay, let's see. Let me think. Well, during the pandemic, I guess this isn't necessarily on stage, but it's during a show. There was a lot of like Zoom improv, and there was, it was a really painful experience.
Wait, you're going to say you injured yourself during Zoom improv? Yes.
That's special, and that's primo content here. How did he do it, ladies and gentlemen? Let's hear.
Well, they did a show to raise money for my theater back in Virginia that I was playing at, where it was called Drunk Prov, where the audience could donate money to the theater to make the performers take shots and things of that nature. So people would get absolutely shithoused during this show.
Wow, shithouse, that's actually a sexual term. Oh, did you say shithouse? That's actually...
Yeah, so I did injure myself doing Drunk Prov by trying to do some physical comedy in my living room, which is the most embarrassing. I think I like slipped and hit my head on a table and then ended up literally passing out on the floor like from being so fucking drunk.
Why have you passed out?
Well, it was like an after party, and my ex literally was like in the after party on Zoom like recording me passed out on the floor. It was a wild time. That was the only time I did Drunk Prov. I was begging to get on that show for so long. Brian Garrity actually produced that show.
Brian's so funny.
We love Brian.
We love Brian Garrity. Really quickly, Maria, when you experienced your injury on stage at home theater, bleep that out. How did the audience react?
They did laugh, yeah. They caught it for sure. And I didn't feel embarrassed because it's fine. I jumped up and acted like I was having fun because I was. But I did feel bad that it drew attention away from the scene that was starting because I was supposed to be off stage, obviously. So I felt a little guilty, but I just tried to blow it off. You know what I'm saying?
Blow off some steam.
Other very minor quick injury I got on stage once. I had a guy in a scene who was doing a thing where he went to kiss me and he accidentally ripped my earring out of my ear through the ear. Like he pulled it through the back of the earring, like through my earring hole. And I didn't realize it until I got off stage and walked back in the green room. And somebody's like, "You're bleeding." And I was like, "What?" There was like blood running down the side of my neck.
Was your lobe torn?
No, it was like the metal piece on the back of the earring. He like grabbed me and he's got like a hand issue where I think he doesn't have full feeling in the hand. So I think he didn't realize he did it, but he accidentally grabbed my earring when he grabbed my face to kiss me. And just like when he pulled away, he literally just ripped the back of the earring through my earring hole.
Folks. If you've ever been kissed like that, if you've ever been kissed so aggressively that you get an ear injury, oh boy.
Oh boy. I mean, love hurts. They say love hurts.
I mean, it's one thing to get injured while you're laying pipe, but another to get injured while you're being smooched.
Listen, if we're talking about screenwriting laying pipe, you're not getting injured, okay? In fact, you're enhancing the script itself. So maybe we all want to think about what we actually think laying pipe means. We should... Urban Dictionary laying pipe, and they'll say it's a screenwriting term.
No. I promise you, I believe you that that's a screenwriting term, but I promise you it also means what we're saying it means.
You can, why don't you look that up while we do plugs for the end of the show?
Plugs for the end of the show, yeah.
So this is going to air tomorrow, this is going to be posted tomorrow. So there's one more week of Comedy Chex Mix at Annoyance, so you can come see Heya Toots and Old Friends, both.
Yes, and some good comedians. I don't know who the comics are on the last one, but...
But they're going to be good. We only book good people.
Is what I can promise you, is that they're going to be good.
Also, all in October, almost every... Not the first weekend, but every other Friday and Saturday in October.
Through Halloween,
ending on Halloween night, Amelia and I are in a show called Death Toll.
Death Toll at Corn Conservatory, baby.
Our favorite place. So it's a really fun Halloween themed show with lots of spooky surprises and a drinking game. Please come. It's going to be so fun. And for real, this show will have lots of physical injuries depicted.
More than that. I would say beyond an injury, a death.
You might see a murder or two.
You're guaranteed. That's actually the purpose
of the conceit of the show. So come see that. Casey, do you have anything you need to plug?
I would just like to plug follow my team Old Friends on Instagram. I love them so much. And also my two-prov group Caseria with the lovely, the amazing, the talented Maria Ann Bluck.
And follow at Casey is Comical. If there's an underscore in that handle, do not follow.
Just be careful. There's a lot of imposters out there just begging to, you know, get those.
This is the real Slim Shady, though.
You know, flattery is the, what is it? Imitation.
Is the smooth wax. The smooth
diamond honey. Do you have anything else to plug, friends?
Really quickly, the other sentence on this refrigerator is one that I actually get behind completely, and this one was created by Maria. Love is a drunk, delirious friend crying in a red gown, and I approve of that message.
That's a Maria Bluck original. Well, I don't think I have anything else to plug.
I have one last thing to plug, my stand-up show, the extremely serious stand-up show. The next date is Monday, October 20th at 7:30 at Playground Theater. I'll see you there.
We'll see you there. Thank you so much for coming, Casey. This was so fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for making time, even though there's so many places and so many states that you need to be.
And so many other guests that we asked before you.
So many forms of transportation that you need to hop on to get to your destination.
I know that if you guys get really, really desperate again, I'll be right there to say yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, and there's a true improviser right there.
Bye. Bye.